Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He is wise, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this week on missions. Have you ever had a desire to serve God in some grand way? To do something really wonderful for God? Somebody wrote, "I fail to put into my life now the ministry of today which is given." Obviously, the Holy Spirit had been talking to that person, because that's what God wants us to do. I suppose most of us have grand dreams of some of the wonderful things that we're going to do someday, or some of the very spectacular things that God may allow us to do. I had the great ambition of being a missionary as long as I can remember. People ask me, "When did you decide you wanted to be a missionary?" Well, I don't remember when I decided, because I certainly don't remember any time when I did not want to be a missionary. I grew up in a missionary family. We had many missionaries in our home. My mother's guest book has 42 countries represented in it. And these people were my heroes. And I wanted that marvelous privilege. And I had delusions of grandeur, too. But there is an indispensable principle that we need to keep in mind. We only have today. Don't be thinking of grand things that need to be done in the future. Think of perhaps the small thing, the obscure thing, the distasteful thing that God might be asking you to do today. Young people ask me, "Can you give me some advice on how to prepare for mission work?" I usually say something like this: don't even think of being a missionary unless you're prepared to be a servant. Servanthood is the key. When Jesus sent his disciples out as missionaries, and the word mission, you know, comes from the Latin word simply meaning to send, he gave them instructions, very clear, unequivocal instructions. And we could never accuse Jesus of false advertising. It says in Matthew 10, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Then he called the disciples, and I will skip over the names, and these 12 he sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." And here comes the tougher news. He says, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Now here's a key verse that I give to young people who ask me for advice about missions. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they hated Jesus, they are likely to hate you. If they didn't listen to what he said, they aren't very likely to listen to what you say. God is giving us warnings. Things are not going to be all rosy. And one thing that I would certainly assure of any young person who's planning to go out is that the will of God is going to be very different from what you believe, very different from your imaginings. It's going to be a whole lot harder. It's going to be a whole lot different and a whole lot bigger. And I want to say, by way of encouragement, it is going to be unspeakably more glorious than anything you can imagine. What does ministry mean exactly? Unfortunately, many people equate ministry with something visible, something done perhaps from a platform, singing, speaking, playing an instrument, teaching a Bible class, teaching a Sunday school class, or going to the mission field. We think of those as true ministry, and of course they are, but the word ministry is much broader than that. It means servanthood. A servant is at the orders of somebody else. He has none of his own agenda. He is waiting. A waitress, a waiter, is someone who waits on the orders of someone else. Anything that needs doing may be ministry. You mothers at home, when you wipe that little child's nose, clean up that mess, change those diapers, remember what Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it for me." Matthew 25:40. It is sacred work. Do you long to do something grand for God, something visible, something which will bring you recognition and perhaps acclaim? It's very unlikely that stay-at-home moms are going to be recognized or acclaimed. Very unlikely indeed. In fact, you know that very often you're asked rude questions, people look down on you, and of course they wonder, what on earth do you do all day? You don't have a job? You mean you don't work? Ministry is servanthood. Anything that needs doing. I'm fascinated with the simplicity of the questionnaire that Amy Carmichael, that Irish missionary to India, prepared for prospective recruits for the Donavur Fellowship, her work in South India, in the early 1900s. I've seen some of these daunting computer printouts, these huge spreadsheets, I guess you call them, with all sorts of things that have to be filled out by people before they can even be considered by a mission board. I take one look at those things and I think, I never would have made it. I could no more have filled out one of those things and passed muster than I could fly. Well, Amy Carmichael had 25 simple questions. I'm certainly not going to read all of them, but I want to read some of them. How long is it since you gave yourself wholly to our Lord for His service? Do you truly desire to live a crucified life? This may mean doing very humble things for His name's sake. Does the thought of hardness draw you or repel you? Are you willing to do whatever helps most? Apart from the Bible, can you name 3 or 4 books which have been vital help to you? Apart from books, what refreshes you most when you are tired? Can you mention any experience you have passed through in your Christian life which brought you into a new discovery of your union with the crucified, risen, and enthroned Lord? I want to read that one again. Can you mention any experience you have passed through in your Christian life which brought you into a new discovery of your union with the crucified, risen, and enthroned Lord? In other words, if you have not encountered the cross, you're not prepared to be a missionary. You're not prepared even to be a short-term missionary or a summer missionary. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, and you're bringing yourself under that cross. Your willingness to give up your right to yourself and to take up that cross and to follow, that will make you missionary material. And the last question, do you think of your call as a vocation for life? There was no such thing as short-term missions when I was young. When we went to the mission field, it was with the understanding that it was for life. I took a boat from New York City, April 5, 1952. It took me 10 days to get to Ecuador. I had no idea of coming back for a weekend to somebody's wedding or coming home for Christmas or coming home for a summer vacation until at least 5 years had elapsed. I think the short-term mission thing has given some people the idea that if they do that, then their responsibility has been discharged. Have you had a desire to serve God in a grand way? Start doing the small things faithfully today.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.